this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, you've earned it. A vacation, that dream trip to Europe, a week on the beach, a wine tour in Napa Valley, maybe a trip to Vegas, Disney World with the kids. Oh, wait a minute. I meant vacation, not work. All right, so Disney World with the kids, that's another podcast about organization. That's not the episode we're going to do today, okay? Instead, we're going to focus on the Early to Rise Perfect Vacation Formula. Yeah, I've been working on this for a long time. You see, this high-performance holiday system is going to help you live your best life while you're away and when you return. And this is not about working when you are on vacation. Now, I take a lot of trips, and I go to Europe every summer for about 3 weeks. I've been to about 40 countries around the world, and while some of my travel is work-related, I've really become an expert at planning, preparing, packing, and prepping for travel so that you can unwind, detach, relax, and really make amazing memories. So what you're going to get today are my secrets for unwinding, for maximizing your time away, for traveling across many time zones. That's a killer one for a lot of people. But when you follow my routines, it's totally going to be simple. Also, routines for getting through TSA, especially worldwide, because there's a lot more hassles in some of the other countries than you know about here, generally in North America, where people are listening. And, you know, you are also going to get the formula for just downright creating amazing memories while on the road, okay? So this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, and you're going to want to kick back, relax, and take notes on how to apply the perfect vacation formula to your trip. Your trip anywhere, anytime, whether you're going to the Amalfi Coast, whether you're going to Tuscany, whether you're going to Japan, doesn't matter. I've been to a lot of these places, and I am going to help you make sure that you have the perfect vacation. So Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by the Perfect Day Formula. It's my best-selling book on how to own your day and control your life. It's also the perfect book for reading on your flight to your destination or while you're on the beach or anywhere. And you know what? I want you to grab your copy at freeperfectdaybook.com if you don't have it already so that you can take this book with you on holiday. And I want you to post a picture of you in some exotic location with my book and tag me on Instagram at RealCraigValentine, okay? That'd be really, really cool. Or just email your photo in to support at earlytorise.com. Now, here's what you're going to discover on our High Performance Vacation Formula podcast. You're going to learn how to plan your high performance holiday properly, okay? This is key. Planning is what makes the trip. It's also research proven to increase the happiness that you get from a trip, to the anticipation of the upcoming trip. Even though a trip might be stressful when you get there, especially that Disney World vacation, it's that planning, it's that looking ahead that actually gives great pleasure to us. And so even if you only do little trips, you know, even if you can't go around the world, but you can do a weekend away or even a staycation can give you happiness in advance. Now, when you're gone, I will talk a little bit about mixing work and play. And I want to share with you my mentor, Mark Ford's 4-hour workday solution for being able to go to like a place like Barcelona and work for a couple hours a day and enjoy that beautiful city. So Mark did that. He's done it in dozens of cities around the world. I have my slightly different 4-hour workday that I'm going to share with you. We're going to talk about how to pack and prepare for fewer problems. And I'm going to give you my proven formula for beating jet lag when you travel around the world, okay? Because this is something I've had to master because I often have tight timelines. I go in, I go out, and whether I'm traveling for work or pleasure, I've had to figure out how to go in and be wide awake and not miss a step. So you're going to get all that and much, much more. And I mentioned Mark Ford. He's really one of my inspirations for travel. I mean, this guy has visited great cultures around the world in so many different countries. He really stops to appreciate art and architecture. I'm pretty good with the architecture. I'm not so great on the art, even though I did go to a gallery in Barcelona just so that I can impress Mark. I sent him a message after I went, but no, I didn't really love being there, to be honest with you. But I have been to 40 countries around the world, mostly in Europe, a little bit in Asia, and a couple in South America. So I go to Europe every summer. I teach an entrepreneurship camp in Lithuania, and I usually do some holidaying before and after. This year, I'm going to South Africa for a safari, then jumping back up to Montenegro, then up to Lithuania for the camp, and then over to London because I actually like the sport of English soccer. So I'm going to go to a game while I'm there. Down in Asia, I've been to Malaysia to visit my friend Vishen Lakiani at Mind Valley. And I have been to Japan, which is absolutely amazing. Tokyo is just fantastic. And I have been to Hong Kong, but I think that's about it. I haven't really extended my Asia traveling as much as I'd like. Vietnam is very, very high on my list. I really want to get there in the next couple of years. Now, down in South America, I went to the Rio Olympics, so I got a good handle on the city of Rio, not so much the entire country of Brazil, but definitely Rio. And then I have been to Santiago, Chile, where my friend has a blueberry farm just outside of Salta in that very beautiful country, very interesting, amazing blueberry farm, 800 acres, one of the biggest producers in the country. Fantastic trip down there. And a little bit of travel down to Central America, including Panama and Nicaragua. My mentor, Bill Bonner, has an estate down in Nicaragua on the Pacific coast. Beautiful, absolutely amazing, great sunset, good surfing. Really, I just wish it was a little bit easier to get to. But a couple of flights through Miami and you're there. And Mark Ford also has a place down there in Nicaragua. So that's the extent of my travel. I can just talk about Europe. I'm just Europe fascinated and a Europhile, I guess you would say. Now, we're not going to talk about just my travel. We're going to talk about, first of all, defining for you, because your travel is going to be different than mine, I'm sure. So let's talk about a high-performance holiday in your mind. Let's talk about some things that define it for you. Is it that Disney World vacation? I know when I was a child, I didn't really want to go that much, but my sister did, my mom did, and so that was our biggest family vacation when I was young. Most of the time we went camping, and by all means, camping is a fantastic vacation if that's what you love. And some of my early childhood memories are camping out in our backyard and then driving around the province of Ontario here in Canada, going camping, doing stuff that, you know, that's all we could afford to do. And eating these little boxes of cereal, you know, those are a real highlight. And so it really is the smallest things on these trips. I know that the people and experiences within the trip, you know, it could have been a trip in your state. It could have been a trip to a different country. But most of the time, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, hey, look, here we are, good friends. We're doing something. For me, it's mostly hiking and getting outside. But for whatever it is for you, I want you to define a high-performance holiday in your mind. So that means, for a lot of people, family time, family or friend time. That means making memories. That's what it's all about, right? And I understand the passion of solo travel. I understand people getting out there and exploring the world. But my goodness, I've been in some amazing places by myself on some work trips, and to me, it just felt empty. And I don't really travel to feel empty, that's for sure, but I don't like my travel memories to feel empty. So, you know, as long as you have one good friend with you, that makes the difference to me. But, you know, if you love solo travel, by all means, go for it. Now, it might mean going to the beach, or it might be experiential travel. It might be environmental travel, or it might be what's called volunteerism, which is becoming very popular now, you know, going to a place and volunteering. Even, well, you know, there's medical missions, which aren't obviously a vacation, but they are something that are very powerful trips that you might want to consider. Now, speaking of a powerful trip or getaway, this is something that people would not consider a vacation, but a lot of people are doing these 10-day meditation retreats, these days, silent meditation retreats. You know, you might consider that as an incredible recharge from your life right now. Then there's just the, hey, I need 2 weeks on a beach somewhere. I need 2 weeks up at the cottage. I need 2 weeks out on the coast. I need 2 weeks just going camping. You know what? Research shows that you do need several days to completely detach yourself from work. And so short vacations are great. The weekend getaways to the city or country, by all means, those are fantastic. But, and I know this is difficult to say, and it's difficult for me to even put into practice, but you know, those 2 weeks of getting outside your regular environment tend to be the ones where you get recharged the most. Now, I'm fortunate that I can combine work and travel. And when I do that, I don't feel like I need vacations if I can go and follow these 4-hour workdays I'm going to talk to you about. Then, that said, I'm not the only person who dictates what a vacation is. So you may look at spiritual journeys or journeys of self-examination and self-reflection. I have some friends who do a lot of hiking. So one of my mentors, one of my very first mentors, a guy named Tom Venuto, did the Pacific Trail from Mexico to Canada. I know another gentleman that did that. I have another friend who has done the Appalachian Trail. Then there's the pilgrimage or something in northern Spain. You know, you walk across from the top of Spain to San Sebastian. I forget what the exact name of that is, but I know some people who have done that. And I mean, to be honest with you, I wish I could, you know, just go and do all of these things. You have to obviously pick and choose, but it would be wonderful to do that type of excursion, because I absolutely love tying in some hiking. I like some nature, some exercise. I'm not one to go into museums. I like to walk by the museum. So when I go to cities like Sydney, Australia, or Paris, France, you give me 2 days of walking 8 to 12 hours a day, and I really feel like that's all I need. I don't need to go into the places. And so last summer, my goodness, I think we put on 10 to 14 miles a day in Budapest, Hungary, and a quick trip over to Slovakia. And that's really what I did. I mean, just hike, you know, city hikes or outside the city hikes. That's what I like to do. So I like to always be moving around. Then, you know, we should also mention the Clark Griswold triumvirate. So, you know, you should have your family vacation, your European vacation, your Vegas vacation. That's what some people might think of when they define a high performance holiday. So at the end of the day, the question then becomes, what is a vacation to you? And, you know, I guess I would sum mine up as generally going to a different environment. I've been around on, you know, my local area quite a bit, and I'm fortunate enough I can go to Europe. I love the country. I love just how different it is than North America. And so I would fly over to a new country in Europe. I always like to go to a new place. It's kind of scratch it off my list. And I would go there. I would see a beautiful city. I would get outside of the city and go and do some good hiking. Always ending the end of a hard hike day with a nice hotel, though. Let's just be clear. I want to end up in a nice hotel after the end of a hard hike. In fact, one of the very first hikes I did in Europe, we went to the Zakopane Mountains in Poland, which I didn't even know Poland had mountains. Of course, I'm a naive Canadian. What do I know? And so we went there. Beautiful. We started off in the beautiful city of Krakow. We went, well, flew to Warsaw, then trained to Krakow, which is where Pope John Paul II was from. And fortunately, Krakow was not destroyed in World War II. So it's a beautiful city. Has one of those incredible squares. Like, I would say Brussels, Belgium has one of the most beautiful squares in the world. And Krakow is almost as nice. It's just very large. It's exactly what you picture when you think of a square in Europe. And then from there, we went off into the Zakopane Mountains, and we did some hiking there, and we probably did like a 12-hour hike, and we got caught in a hailstorm and a rainstorm. We were soaking wet and cold, but when I got back to the hotel and took a hot shower and then went down to the restaurant, I mean, that's what I live for, is that feeling of I did work. Maybe it's the farm boy in me coming out, but I did work, and I earned this great meal with good friends. And then we can laugh at how we were silly and got caught out in the rainstorm and all that good stuff. So that's a vacation to me, you know. And I'll be honest, I'm a bit of a snob when I fly. And I must say, I love a business class flight over to Europe. You know, what I do is I go to sleep immediately upon getting on the plane. I'll talk about that in my jet lag formula. But the flight home, when you're basically going in this amazing time machine, right? So last year I flew from Madrid to Toronto, leaving at about noon, landing at about noon, or maybe I left at like 11 in the morning and landed at 1 o'clock. But you don't lose any time, and you get to sit on an airplane and watch movies and eat chocolate, and basically I binge eat while I binge watch movies that I haven't seen, because I don't watch movies most of the time. And then you show up home and it's like I didn't miss any time of the day. Now, on the other hand, when I go to Europe, I sleep overnight and end up kind of groggy when I get there. But plane travel, it's a beautiful thing. So even the traveling part of travel is an amazing experience for me. So my goodness, I've just been rambling on about what a vacation is to me. And I should say that, I've also been to Thailand, because I want to talk about Asia, because going to Asia is so new and novel to most of us here in North America. Obviously not all of us who have culture there, but and background there. But, going there and the energy of Asia is just so fantastic. And so I don't have as much to share with you about Asia, but it certainly is. It's so different than going to Europe, but it excites me so much at the same time. So, my goodness, again, me talking. So I want to share with you, before we get into the planning, because I'm going to go really deep into planning, because it wouldn't be a formula without a lot of planning, right? Now, my mentor, Mark Ford, what he taught me was he loves these four-hour workdays while on vacation. So he'll go to a place like Barcelona or Rio or, Chicago. Sometimes he does them in America. He came up to Toronto one time. And he'll go for 6 weeks in the summertime. And he will basically live and experience the city while working 4 hours a day. So he'll get up in the morning, work for 4 hours. And then in the afternoon, him and his wife will go and explore the city. And that's a beautiful way of doing things. And I do that a lot. In fact, I'd love to tell you a little bit of a story here. In 2014, I did that when I was writing the Perfect Day Formula. I'd get up. I remember being in like probably the worst hotel room I've ever stayed at was in this place in Rome. We booked it the same day. I was there with a bunch of my friends. Don't recall any cockroaches, but it was tiny and not very good, and like near the train station, so it was loud, and lots of young kids out partying. But I remember getting up there and writing for an hour. I wrote one of my favorite chapters from the book in Rome, and then a year later, my summer travels took me to Istanbul, Turkey, which is an absolutely amazing city. Oh my goodness, I absolutely love it there, and that's when I put the final edits together on the Perfect Day Formula. And I remember it was the middle of August. Might even have been August 15th, now that I think of it. It's burned in my mind so much. And I woke up and I got the final edits. I read through it. I made the final changes, and I sent them back to my editor, Mark. And as I sent them off, it was about 8:30 in the morning, and I looked out my window. I was fortunate enough to stay at the Ritz-Carlton there, and it has a nice view of the Bosphorus, and you can see this sun coming up over the Asia side of Istanbul, and I was done. And it was a magic moment for me. And then I went and had an amazing buffet breakfast that they had there. So Istanbul's high on my list. And those are the things. Those are the things about travel that are forever burned and etched into your mind, right? That, that time you stumbled across that restaurant in Chicago, or you had amazing seafood in Lisbon, Portugal, or you discovered like, oh my gosh, look at how the Spaniards live at 10 o'clock at night, they're going out. And or maybe in Dubai or Bangkok, where I saw young children out at midnight, because that was just normal. And the heat, you can't really go out with your kids in the afternoon in Dubai, but it's not unnormal, or I don't even know if that's a word, but it's not surprising to see people living in this different culture in an absolutely shocking way to what you would expect back home. And that's what it's about, knowing that there is a great big world out there. And books are good. Books are a good way of doing it. And sometimes books are a better way of doing it. And I will say that I've had very few disappointing travel experiences. But I really like World War II history. I mean, it's fascinating to me to think of the struggles that people went through. And one of the biggest travel disappointments was when on that trip to Poland, when we went to Auschwitz, and I wish I would not have gone because it seemed very strange. You know, the hot dog cart out in front of Auschwitz just seems so bizarre. And you know what? Some things are best left to the imagination. So I wish that was a place that I did not go. But in most cases, getting out of your comfort zone, seeing the world, talking to the people, eating the food, living on a different routine, and we'll talk about that in a moment. That's what life is about in most cases. It's about people, experiences, memories. And so Mark Ford's four-hour workday approach is really fantastic. And I encourage any of you who are fortunate like me to have built this location-independent lifestyle, or at least to maybe have the opportunity of a sabbatical. I know I've talked to quite a few people who have the opportunity, they've built up holidays or they have a sabbatical opportunity in their companies. You know what? Go for it. Go for it. So Mark Ford encouraged me to create my own four-hour workday. And in my four-hour workday, I work 2 hours in the morning and usually like an hour or two in the afternoon or evening when I travel. So I will write in the morning for 2 hours, and then I will check some communication in the afternoon. And I remember being and discovering this when I was in Austria. I was in a little place called Zell am See, which is picturesque. Oh my goodness, picturesque. Vienna is a beautiful city, but if I ever disappear and you're like, where's Craig Ballantyne gone? He's not been heard from for like a year now. You will probably find me in the rolling green hills of Austria chasing my, not Mary Poppins, what's the girl from, chasing Maria from The Sound of Music, chasing my own personal Maria from The Sound of Music, because it's just so fantastic there. And we were at this, Zell am See is this little lake, I think, I don't know, I'm not going to try and translate it. But then it's like all these mountains around it. And oh my gosh, what a beautiful, beautiful place. And I remember being there about 7 to 9 hours ahead of my friends in America. And you'd wake up in the morning and there'd be no emails because, you know, no one's trying to get in touch with you. And no one's trying to get in touch with you till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Austrian time. And so it was beautiful. It's like, oh my goodness, I could get up and I could write completely undisturbed without having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and still have 5 hours. And then, you know, come back and check some emails around 5 o'clock for an hour before dinner. What a life that would be. So if I do disappear, come searching for me in those rolling green hills. Now, having said all that, let's get to the formula, shall we? Because traveling, whether you're traveling for work or whether you're traveling for family, requires great planning. Now, if you have children, and I don't, so I am trying to help you out as much as possible, but you know, you have to think about every single thing that your children need at home. You have to make sure that you have the right things when you travel on the airplane to keep them entertained, right? You have to have the right things when you get to your location. And if you're going somewhere exotic and new, well, my goodness, what will the diaper situation be like? What about medications? What about snacks? What are we going to do? So you really do need to do advanced preparation. And this, you know, especially as a grown-up child here, as a very finicky person, I do a lot of research and planning when I go on my trips. Mostly not around what to do, but about how to survive on my routines when I get there. I know that some of you are like laughing at me and saying, well, just relax, dude. But this is how I operate, and I operate functional very well. That said, I can be very flexible in certain situations. So when you're planning up the holiday, you want to go through the classics: who, what, where, why, when, and how, right? Who are you going with? Who are you going with? That is going to mean, well, if we're going with Aunt Martha, we're not going to be traveling at a very quick pace. If we are going with, you know, Cousin Bobby, and all Cousin Bobby wants to do is party, then we need to make sure, like, hey, Cousin Bobby, we're going to have like a night where we don't party. But then you also have to be mentally prepared for, you know, hanging out with Cousin Bobby at least one night if you're going on a trip with him. What are you going to do when you get there? Now, when I travel in the summertime, I often meet for a couple days one of my good friends, a gentleman named Barry Dunlop, who's an Irishman living near London. And we always meet up for these hikey trips, you know. So last year we went to Budapest to see his son. This year we're going to Montenegro for some hiking, for some seaside good times. He's like me. He likes a good hike and then a nice relaxing afternoon tea and a nice dinner in a nice hotel. So you got to find your traveling partners. I certainly can't travel very well with someone who walks slow in an airport. I basically, like, you know, Usain Bolt sprinting speed. That's about how fast I go in an airport walking. And so most people are like, hey, Craig, slow down. I'm okay with it on a little bit of a trip, but if I was going away with you for 3 weeks, you would have to be able to keep up with me. So you need to think about what you are going to do when you get there. My friend Barry always plans out the hikes. I don't plan ahead for the hiking. I just make sure, hey, we got a nice hotel. Good. I've got my routine planned out. Good. I'm good to go. Now you can throw the rest at me and I will adapt. You need to figure out where you want to go. Now, if you're thinking just in terms of local, you need to figure out what's going to be a big impact. Is it visiting family? Is it taking my children somewhere educational? Is it taking, you know, going somewhere I always wanted to go to when I was a kid? I have a friend of mine, Adam Witte. He wanted to go to every single baseball park in America. So when he was in his early 20s, he set out on this journey, and I believe he's conquered them all. I know they add some new ones once in a while, but you need to think about where you're going and why and what that means to you. Because most people are limited by the amount of travel they get to do, right? I mean, we don't get to take a vacation week every month. And so you really need to make sure that when you choose your location, it's the right one for you. You need to think about why you're going, which ties into that, and when you're going. Now, this doesn't just mean like, hey, let's go to Disney World when it's not going to be busy, or let's go on a weekend trip to New York City when it's not, you know, going to be crazy, or not in the summertime when it's going to be too hot. But you even have to think about, well, when are we going to the airport? Because certain cities, it can be a nightmare to get to the airport. So I always plan my travel. Like when I'm going to LA, I always make sure my flight lands at the noon hour. And that way, if I need to go somewhere an hour away from LAX, I will get there without too much problem. So that's the kind of things that I'm always thinking about. Always trying to make sure that I don't impact a trip in a negative way by not planning properly. So this is just a matter of examining your routine. Examining your routine right now and knowing what you need to stick to when you go on your travel. It's a classic case of introspection and self-reflection. And that's you know, as a person with introverted tendencies, I tend to do a lot of that. I also, you know, in the Strength Finders test, if you've ever taken it, I'm very high on strategic and futuristic and execution. So all of this stuff just comes naturally to me. Now, I'm not the type of person who wants to jam like, oh, at 11:15, we're going to this museum. 11:39, we need to be out of there and on this train to this. No, I'm not. I don't travel like that. I just need to know blocks, you know. Give me a block until 9 for myself in the morning. And then from 9 until 3, I'm yours. We'll do whatever you want. Then from 3, I need a bit of downtime. And then I'll come back and meet you for dinner. That's all I need. That's all I need. You fit me into those blocks and I'm good to go. But I know that because I know myself very well. So you need to do the same sort of thing. And you need to accommodate, obviously, if you have children, if you're going with your parents, if you're going with relatives, if you're going in a group of buddies who haven't seen one another since college, then you need to adapt. And adaptation is all about mental expectations. Okay, mental expectations. So as long as you are mentally prepared for, you know, 80 to 90% of what's going to happen on this trip, you should be willing to be flexible and accommodate to it. You should know, like, okay, we are going on a golfing trip to Myrtle Beach with Bobby and his wife Sally and Crazy Larry. And Crazy Larry is going to want to start drinking as soon as we hit the first tee. Now, I'm not going to do that. There might be one day where I'll join him for a beer after the first 9, but I'm not playing Crazy Larry's games anymore because I'm 40 years old or I'm 55 years old. And so you need to mentally prepare for dealing with other people, but also be mentally prepared to have your behaviors in place. So classic case of introspection and self-reflection. Think about it. Make sure that you have your routines, your mental preparation done. Now you also have to do advanced preparation. So when you travel, I've had friends turned away at borders because of not having the right visa, because of not having the right vaccinations, especially when you go to some exotic countries, And I had a poor young friend who came all the way to America from South America. And I'm not saying he didn't deserve to be turned away, but he was turned away because of a picture on his cell phone of him smoking weed. Now, I don't know if that's a legitimate reason to stop you from coming into America, but sometimes people are just looking for any excuse to stop you from coming into America or to other countries. I'm not saying it's just America. So you need to make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row. Don't just like wake up 2 days before the trip and go, you know, I should start thinking about going somewhere. You need to have your passport valid for, I believe, 3 to 6 months after you go on your trip. So make sure you have done the paperwork, okay? If you get turned away somewhere, don't blame it on anyone but yourself. So online research is the key. Google everything. If you need to, go to a travel agent. I use this company called Flight Center here in Canada. It's a global company. I don't see a lot of it in America, but it's very popular in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. I think it's also in the UK. And maybe I pay a premium, but they do all the work for me. If a flight is missed because my flight is late, they rebook me on something. And I don't have to worry about it because I need to put my mental energy into being around the people that I'm with and focusing on my business, not worrying about rebooking hotels or flights. So that's the way I operate. Obviously, your mileage will differ, but you need to prepare in advance. You also need to prepare in advance for language and cultural barriers and differences. If you're going to Tokyo, even in Tokyo, there is not a lot of English spoken. So fortunately, when I went to Tokyo, I had a friend with boots on the ground who had lived there for 15 years, and he was basically our travel guide. Now, I probably wouldn't have gone to Tokyo on my own, that's for sure. And maybe not even with a friend, unless we had somebody who spoke the language as he did and knew exactly where to take us. That's the way I travel. You know what? If you want to go and backpack across the country and not know the language, by all means, go ahead. But that's not how I'm going to do it. But you do need to be prepared. You know, need to know what you're getting into. When you go to Lithuania, what's the language? What's the currency? Are they on the euro? What, you know, what's it going to be like there? How's this going to fit my routine? So yes, it's fun and exciting to figure it out as you go, but maybe it's a little more fun and exciting when you're a little younger than I am to figure it out as you go. And when you're a little less type A. You also need to know the currency, and it's always good to take extra money. Generally always good to have American dollars. I haven't had a situation where having American dollars was bad. So you want to make sure, again, in Europe, there's a lot of currency issues. Like, is this country on the euro? Is this country not on the euro? You know, can I change the money? And you want to be careful when you change money because you can obviously come out very behind on the exchange rates. Plus, you need to know everything that you will need in terms of having paperwork for car hires, you know, car hires, as my friend Barry Dunlop says, or car rentals, as Craig Valentine says. But, you know, what paperwork do you need when you go to a country and you have to rent a car? And what side of the road does the country drive on? That's always a bit of an adventure when you go and leave North America or when you leave Australia. All right. So every summer I go to Lithuania in Europe, and when you do travel to Europe, or even on flight across America, transcontinental, you have to understand, if you've been on an airplane for 4 or 5 hours, and maybe you sat on the runway, or maybe you slept, and you know, maybe it was an overnight flight, you have to understand that when you land, you will be generally disoriented. I mean, first of all, you need to, this is why I use the same bag all the time, even though my bag is kind of ugly and old. I know where everything goes. And so even if I'm disoriented, I know my brain, my nervous system, it's automatic. It will put the passport in the right pouch because it's routine. I've done it hundreds of times. Now, if you are traveling and you don't travel a lot and you are taking a new bag and you are going somewhere where you might wake up and be disoriented and you'll be all flustered getting off an airplane, you need to understand that you might leave stuff behind. So please, you know, if you even have to write down a checklist, just be prepared that you don't leave your passport in the seat compartment, that you don't leave it in the rental car, that you have everything that you need to take when you get there. And when you get there, don't rush off the airplane. Just relax, and make sure you're making the right decisions. Because when you show up at London Heathrow after flying from America, then you get put in these crazy lines like a maze going through there. Charles de Gaulle is like this as well. And you walk through and you're like, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't know which line to go into. Am I resident, non-resident, non-EU, EU citizen? I don't know where I'm going here. Frankfurt's also giant and crazy. It's a giant airport and it can really throw you off your game. So you need to think, you might even want to in advance research if I'm connecting on to Lithuania on this airline in Frankfurt, flying in on Air Canada, what terminal am I going to end up in? How do I get there? Because trust me, if you don't walk a lot, you're going to be like kind of thrown off your game when you go to Frankfurt and you have to go to all those different terminals, especially if you're walking fast with Fast Craig Valentine. So those are things to understand. Time zones are also very important to understand, particularly when you go to Europe, right? You're going to Europe, you're way ahead of North America. And I apologize to any of offense is North American centric, but let's just be honest, I'm North American centric, so I will be centric to myself. So when you have huge time zone changes and you generally land in Europe early in the morning, you're probably not going to be able to check in to your hotel until later in the day. So you need to be mentally prepared for that. You need to be mentally prepared for the diet changes. And so many people these days have diet restrictions. So how are you going to operate with these diet restrictions? How are you going to operate with any supplements you might have to take? So think about that. And then think about emergency stuff. You need to have, preferably, make sure you have all your immunizations and vaccinations done. I mean, I went to Brazil during the Zika period, so I, you know, had to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared for having the correct visas, your itineraries. Highly recommend you print stuff out. Great, you have your iPhone and everything can go on your iPhone, but what if you lose your iPhone? What if your iPhone dies? What if someone is being, you know, in a bad mood in the Vilnius airport in Lithuania and doesn't want to accept your iPhone as a ticket, okay? You need to have printed itineraries, printed tickets as much as possible to make things go smooth. You should have duplicate copies of your passport, but you should have a photocopy of your passport, backup copies of your travel itinerary, backup copies of your hotel reservations. I remember when I went to New Zealand when I was younger, I was naive. And so I went there I had a return ticket from Sydney, but I didn't have a ticket from Auckland to Sydney. And they started asking me, well, you know, where are you going after this? Okay, I'm going to Sydney. Well, let's see your ticket. I didn't have one. And so they kept me for about an hour and a half and they searched through my bag for everything. They were polite about it, but they were very, very thorough. And so you have to make sure that you have that stuff in place because that can really throw you off your game. Now, when you travel, there's other things that you will want to make sure you take care of. So when you go, you probably want to use the internet. So you have to be thinking about how good is the hotel internet, especially if you are combining work and travel. You need to make sure you have international travel plugs. So if you've never been outside America, people don't plug things into the wall the same way in Britain. They have different plugs. And so you should, well, fortunately, most hotels in London now have accommodated that. But some will not, especially in countries all over the world. You know, in Africa, they have different plugs. In Asia, they have different plugs. In different parts of Europe, they have different plugs. So make sure that you have the correct plugs for your electronic equipment. Then when you go into a hotel room and you want to sleep well at night, you have to understand that some countries don't do air conditioning. So you need to think ahead about whatever you might need there, or heat. You know, some countries don't do heat as well as America. I mean, North Americans are quite spoiled with the way that our hotels are set up. Now, you also will probably have a lot of lights and noise that will be different than your regular sleeping arrangements. So I always take an eye mask and earplugs. I sleep with them at home now too, just because it's normal for me. And the earplugs are probably the best thing. I even know someone who takes Band-Aids to put on the beeping and blinking electronic lights, not beeping lights, but obviously the blinking lights in your hotel room, because some people are very sensitive to light in the room and that can stop you from having a good night's snooze. So just packing the eye mask, earplugs, and Band-Aids, all this stuff, can make things go so much better. And then obviously check the weather. If you're going somewhere and you're like, oh yeah, I heard it rains all the time in London, and you go there and it's, you know, 80 degrees Celsius and sunny all week because that's just the way it is, then you might not have packed properly. Or if you go somewhere and you think, oh, it's always warm in, you know, Spain or Florida, and you go to Florida and it's, you know, a cold streak and it's no more than 65 Fahrenheit every day and you didn't bring any sweatshirts, well, you're going to be disappointed. So make sure that you plan ahead. Battery chargers as well, especially if you're going to be out in the middle of nowhere. I bought this new piece of Away luggage. I really like it, and it comes with a portable battery charger. And I have a carry-on policy. Never check bags. Never check bags unless you absolutely have to. And I know that people who have kids or dietary restrictions, when my family travels with my mother, we have to make sure that, you know, we check her luggage because she has one of those CPAP machines. So, you know, obviously you're not going to carry that on. So you have to have all of these things in place. Mentally, what are you going to do? How are things going to look like when you land? You know, who's going to be the slowest person, the weakest link in your traveling party? If it's just you and some girlfriends going to New York City and one girl always checks luggage, you just have to be mentally prepared for all of that. All right. So, and the reason why I don't check luggage is not just because I'm in a rush all the time, but also because I have been on trips where people's luggage has been, opened up. Things have been stolen from it. You know, like a lot of stuff has been stolen from it. And so that is going to happen. And obviously when your luggage is outside of your sight, that is something you need to be concerned with. Finally, one last thing I want to mention is that, well, not one last thing, I got a lot of things to mention, is that when you take your phone, you need to make sure that you have a good worldwide data program. So my friend uses T-Mobile, and she said she has a program that costs about $70 a month all in. She uses it when she travels everywhere. She lives in Santiago, comes to America all the time, and goes to Europe where she's from. And she says it's too complicated and a waste of time to keep buying local SIM cards. So she uses the T-Mobile One plan. Now, I don't know what Verizon has, because that's a plan I'm on, but I'm looking into that for this summer. And I will make sure that I get the right program, because you don't want to go there and then end up with a huge bill when you come home, or just not being able to connect because you probably want to stay in touch with people at home. So keep that in mind. You also have to plan your mobile phone accommodations. Now, when you go to different countries, you'll also find different political climate. I know that in certain cities in America, you will see automatic weapons. I remember after 9/11 seeing that in San Francisco airport, and that threw me off. But you'll see that in countries all around the world. When we went to Rio for the Olympics, there were plenty of soldiers with automatic weapons patrolling. So you need to know what you're going into. You also need to probably want to Google some airport scams in whatever country you're going to. Just make sure you don't get in the wrong taxi and they charge you an exorbitant amount of money. So be prepared, okay? Be prepared with your visas. Be prepared with everything. And remember, the longer the flight, the more disoriented you are going to be when you get off that flight, and you're not going to be making great decisions. And when you get there, hopefully you have arrangements to get to your hotel so that you can get your mind right again and overcome any language barriers. So sometimes when I travel, I get a car to, you know, pick me up at the airport. It's an extra expense, but sometimes it's just not worth the adventure, okay? Sometimes it's not worth me getting lost on the underground in London. And yeah, I'm the type of person who does get lost on the underground in London, even though it's relatively simple. So just understand that there's lots of things you should research in advance when you go on traveling and vacations. All right, so when you go on vacations, you're probably wondering, well, what about sticking to my routines? You know, is this going to be something where I should just give up my routine? I'm going on a real legitimate vacation, no work. So should I stop gratitude journaling? Should I stop meditation? Should I stop getting up at my normal time? And the answer is you can do whatever you want. Just understand that there will be consequences for going off your diet, going off your sleep pattern, going off your exercise pattern. And those consequences might be minor. It might be no big deal to you at all. And you might be able to get back on track with them very quickly when you return home. If that's the case, then by all means, go and do whatever you want. You're an adult here, and through some introspection and self-reflection, you're going to find out what's right for you. Now, for me, I still love to write. I mean, I love writing like people love painting. And so for someone to say to me, you shouldn't write when you go on vacation, that's like saying, you shouldn't be allowed to go out and take photographs in nature when you go on vacation. That's what I love to do. And I actually write amazing and perhaps even more creatively when I am somewhere like that. Like last year I was in Madrid, and Hemingway spent a lot of time in Madrid. And so I was reading and writing about it. And I just had some really great writing sessions. So, don't tell me I can't write when I'm gone. I'm going to stick to that part of my routine. Diet-wise, I am just so automatic with my diet that I don't go too far off. And so for me, when I come home or when I go, it's not that big of a deal. I do have a little bit of problem when I travel over there with digestion for the first couple of days. And so when I travel far away, that is. When I travel within 2 or 3 hours, I'm no problem. But even when I go from Toronto to LA, my digestion is off for a couple of days. So I just make sure I drink a lot of water, get lots of get fiber as much as possible, not too much, but enough. And I try and it's easier these days than ever to eat more green vegetables when I travel. That's one thing I do want to mention, that just because you step into an airport, especially when you're on a business trip, stepping into an airport doesn't automatically mean that the calories and the crappy food doesn't matter. And I see this. It's like, as soon as somebody goes into an airport, they think they can just go and start eating hot dogs. Like, I don't know why you eat a hot dog in an airport, but I see this all the time. And so just because you're in an airport doesn't mean you should eat crappy food, because it's only going to make your travel kind of disappointing. So I want you to choose which routines you're going to stick to. Choose which ones you're not going to stick to. Understand that there will be consequences and results from doing both, and just be willing to accept both of them, okay? So if you're going to say, I'm going to eat whatever I darn well please in Italy, accept that there will be consequences from that. It might be weight gain, it might be digestive issues, it might be sleep issues. You might have achy joints. I don't know. But just understand, you can do whatever you want as a grown person, and I recommend you stick to most of your positive high performance routines as much as possible, because the further you get away from something, the harder it is to get back on. Now, we should also talk about communication in advance. So communication in advance means, what do you need to set up before you leave home? And so there might be, first of all, who are you going to communicate with if there's an emergency when you're gone? And if there's an emergency when you're gone, who's going to communicate that to you? You need to communicate with your employment that you will not be available. You are going on a real vacation. You are going to go and recover. And this is going to be a high performance vacation for you, and you're going to come back better. So make that clear. You also need to be clear, if you are the entrepreneur, that you need to be clear to your team members, if something comes up, who is in charge of dealing with certain emergencies. So be very clear. Clear communications and properly set expectations make everything go so much better. And then, what about your home stuff? What about, oh my goodness, is it going to be mail piling up? Are you going to have a handyman come by and check things out? Who's going to make sure that the snow is removed and the lawn is cut if you were gone for an epic 3-week vacation? What about those meal deliveries? You got to make sure those are canceled too, right? So think about all the little things. And when you have this stuff in place, I know it's an epic amount of preparation, but my goodness, when you do this, you're going to have fun with it. You're going to be thinking all the time about, oh my goodness, we're going to be on the Côte d'Azur, on a sailboat, on the beautiful waters, just by Cannes. Oh my goodness, trip of a lifetime. I feel like George Clooney. So you know what? Preparing for that so that you can be present in that moment, it's all worth it. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is to talk about jet lag, because it can be a major nuisance, really a major nuisance when you travel. It can probably throw people off for 3 days if they do not do this properly. So I read this article from this guy named Andrew Harper. He has this review of luxury hotels around the world. Now, obviously, it's not one man named Andrew Harper doing it all. There's a whole bunch of people doing these hotel reviews, but he always writes the newsletter is always written in his voice. And he said, when I first became a professional traveler, I used to deal with jet lag the old fashioned way, which is to say that I used to drink a few old fashioned, ha ha ha, and then knock myself out for the flight. Okay, funny. But he admits that jet lag becomes harder as you get older. And so now the new age preparation is the way to go. So no booze on your flight. Point number one, of seven. So there's seven tips here to avoid jet lag. No booze on the flight, okay? Don't have champagne. Say, oh, we're going to Europe. It's 10 o'clock at night. Let's have champagne and a drink. Because then you won't be able to fall asleep, or you won't sleep well. You'll be getting up, going to the bathroom. Alcohol stops you from getting into a sleep cycle, proper sleep cycle. And the next thing you know, you're going to be even more disoriented when you wake up. And that means you're going to crash and fall asleep on your first day in Paris. And it's going to be a waste of a day. So listen, we're not getting on the airplane to go to Europe to celebrate on the airplane. We're getting on the airplane to go to Europe to celebrate in Europe. All right. So think about that. And this goes for your travel in any direction. Now, the second thing is to make sure that you pause the caffeine 10 hours before bedtime. When I travel to Europe, I can take about an 8 p.m. flight. So I show up about 7 or 8 in the morning in Europe, and I fall asleep pretty early on the flight because I have such an early bedtime. Now, if you don't go to sleep until 11 o'clock normally, take the 10 p.m. flight or the 11 o'clock flight to Europe, fall asleep as quickly as possible on the plane, get 4, 5, 6 hours of okay sleep. And then you show up in Europe, you stay awake for another 7 or 8 hours, and then you can probably crash. Remember, actually, you'll probably stay up to like midnight in Europe, and then you'll crash. And the next day, you should be good to go, all right? But don't stay up all night on the plane to Europe, drinking caffeine, drinking alcohol, and then show up disoriented in France, and then, you know, go to your hotel and sit in the lobby, cranky, get into your hotel room and fall asleep until 8 o'clock, and then be wide awake and not be able to fall asleep until about 4 in the morning. That is going to kind of ruin the first 2 days of your trip, okay? So sleep through your trip as much as possible on the way to Europe. What you should do is the first couple, for like about a week before you go on your trip, try to adjust to the local time zone, okay? So if you normally go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night, about a week out, go to bed at 10:45. 6 days out, 10:30, and so on until you get to about 9:30. No, you know, nothing too exotic compared to your normal. And then that'll make things go a little bit better as well. You'll fall asleep. All right. So that's what you need to do. When you land, don't have a nap. I remember when I was naive and I went to France, the first time I went there in 2009, I fell asleep at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I woke up at 6. I mean, it was an amazing nap. Don't get me wrong. It was like one of the best naps of my life, but essentially it was like sleeping, and then it kind of threw me off for a couple of days. So I made a mistake that I don't want you to make. So when you get there, when you get to your destination, adjust to the circadian rhythm as quickly as possible. So when I fly to Asia, I sleep a little bit early in the flight, get there, and generally I arrive at nighttime, I stay up for a bit, then I go to sleep, and I am right back on track. It's easier when you're going west. It's harder when you're going east, so that's why you have to do a little bit more work. So if you need to, go to the spa, go for a swim, but if you are going east, if you are going to Europe, if you are going from LA to New York, then try to stay awake. Don't fall asleep in your hotel room when you get there. Next, you want to eat like a local, so you want to get there, land, and again, get on the circadian rhythm. If you land at lunchtime, start eating lunch. If you land at dinner time, eat dinner. If you land really early in the morning, have a bit of breakfast, okay? But eat like a local. And then if all else fails, grind it out. Grind it out. Just don't fall asleep in the afternoon, okay? So a couple of tips for when you're going across the pond from America, or if you were going from maybe to Australia to America because you're going east. The seven tips are for avoiding jet lag. Don't order booze on your flight. Stop caffeine about 10 hours before you get on your flight and try and fall asleep. Sleep as much as possible on the flight, especially the overnight flights. Stay awake when you land. Go to sleep late at night on your first day there. Eat like a local, so get on their time as quickly as possible. And if all else fails, grind it out. Okay, so my goodness, that was a lot of preparation. There wasn't a whole lot of like how to enjoy yourself, but the thing is, you don't need my help to enjoy yourself. You need my help to plan the vacation, to plan ahead for all these crazy things that the fun old world out there is going to throw at you. You know, there's going to be different customs agents. You know, when you come to Canada, you have to be prepared. The customs agents are really hard. They're even harder than American customs agents. And I know people have probably heard horror stories about American customs agents, but Canadians are actually even harder. So they're going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. It's not like when you go to Europe, most of the places just stamp your passport. Hong Kong, they stamp your passport. And they're just like, hey, go on. We got thousands of people who want to come here. So for some reason, they like to make you line up and ask you a lot of questions in Canada. So those are the types of things that are good to know. And the more preparation you can do for this type of stuff, the easier and more adventurous the rest of your trip can be. When you're like, hey, I got 6 hours here in Panama City, let's go and explore. But if you didn't bring the right passport, if you didn't bring the right papers, you got held up at the border, and now that 6 hours becomes 2 hours, and you'd be frustrated on your trip. So let's do the hard work in advance. Very much like when you control your morning, you can own your day and concentrate on what counts. It's the same with planning out your vacation and your travels around the world. Do the work in advance so that when you get there, you can concentrate on what counts, which is making memories. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget about Kevin. That's a Home Alone joke. So don't forget about Kevin. Don't forget about your dog. And don't forget to turn off the stove whenever you go, right? You're always thinking, hey, did I turn the stove off? Did I get the tickets? Make sure that you have all that in place and you will have the most amazing vacation of your life. All right, so that's it, my friend. The perfect vacation formula with everything you need to know to plan ahead, properly prepare, avoid major hassles, and simply have the time of your life. I'm pretty sure there's never been a podcast in anybody's podcast out there like this one. So I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll enjoy some of the stories that I've told that will help you really enjoy your travels, because travel is magic. And whether you yearn for time on the beach or exploring in Europe or chasing history through the Middle East, there's a great big world out there. And I want you to soak it all in and enjoy your time as much as possible. Vacations provide the memory that you must make for you and your children and your friends and extended family. And it doesn't matter if they were the vacations of my youth, which were very budgeted. You know, we were barbecuing hot dogs, grilling out hot dogs, and eating mini boxes of cereal and camping and going to science centers across Ontario. I mean, that was, you know, my holiday when I was a kid, but I remember those very fondly. So you don't have to go to Paris, right? You don't have to go to Europe, but you know what? Going to Europe's pretty darn cool too. So remember, though, it's all about the memories. It's about the hikes in the Zakopane Mountains where you get pelted by hail and you talk about it. I've literally been talking about that trip with my friend for about 10 years now since we went. And so don't let any snags get in the way other than the hail. Use the formula, the perfect vacation formula, to make the most of every minute you are away by planning in advance. Now, I would love to hear what you thought of this one, okay? So first of all, go over to iTunes, rate it, give it a 5-star review, send us comments to support at earlytorise.com. Hit me up on Instagram at Real Craig Ballantyne. Take that photo of you and the Perfect Day Formula book around the world, and then let me know what I missed. When you listen to this, you're like, well, why didn't you cover this, that, or the other thing? Let me know so that I can make another one to help make your travel and vacations even more amazing. We're definitely going to do some work trip formula podcasts, maybe just one where it's like the epic work travel one, because I do a lot of work travel and I know how we can make that very smooth. Kind of like I'll turn you into the next George Clooney from Up in the Air about how perfected your traveling is in that one. So I've been using my systems for a year and it's all part of the formulas that I've built. So it really helps me get more out of life in every area. So if you're sitting there thinking, I wish I had more time for travel and vacation, or I really need a vacation, then let me help. Okay. Every year I take the vacation of a lifetime. Every year. That's what I say. It's a vacation of a lifetime this year. And this year I'm going to South Africa for 2 weeks and Europe for 3 weeks. That is like the vacation of a lifetime for most people. And I do that every year. And it's because of my perfect life system that's allowed me to build the business and life of my dreams. And I want to teach it to you in person. And I want to give you the accountability to hold you to it. And I want to give you everything that you need to make big changes in your wealth and productivity so that you live that perfect life. So when you're ready to get that proven step-by-step blueprint for success and to get my accountability, to get it just like I've given it to my clients who have sold businesses to PayPal, who have written New York Times best-selling books, who have built the fastest-growing franchises in America, who are coaches to coaches, who are nutrition experts. You know, I have all these clients in so many industries, and they all are using my formula, and I want to share it with you. So let's get you started on the coaching journey in addition to your traveling journey and give you the accountability you need to succeed. Go to perfectlifeworkshop.com right now. Apply to work with me at my next coaching event, and I'll see you. Maybe we'll both be traveling to it using these secrets, and I'll see you very soon.